You may be wondering kind of what's coming up next week. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, so that's the beginning of Passion Week. And so next Sunday will be kind of a traditional worship service for us. But then during that week between Palm Sunday and Easter, we are going to have a couple extra services. It'll start on Thursday. Thursday is, in many traditions, called Maundy Thursday. And Thursday is when Jesus had the Last Supper. So we're going to have, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but we're going to have a potluck. Are we allowed to say potluck? If not allowed to say potluck, we say covered dish, right? So we're going to have a covered dish dinner from 6 to 8 approximately. The whole service will be there. So we will meet in the fellowship hall on Thursday, Maundy Thursday. That's not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday. We will have a dinner together, covered dish dinner. And then we're going to be presenting elements of a Seder dinner, the Passover meal, and the significance of that. And then we will have communion together in the fellowship hall. Then we're all going, whoever wants to, we're going to come here in the sanctuary, and men will be on this side and ladies on this side, and we're going to have a foot washing service. And there's nothing real fancy about it. You just wash one another's feet, and we will have, what will make it hypoallergenic or whatever the right term is? We'll make it so no one's stinky feet or touching other stinky feet or whatever. So we will have that. So that's next Thursday from 6 to 8. All of that will happen between 6 and 8 a week from Thursday. Not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday. And then Friday will be Good Friday service here. And that will be 7 o'clock from approximately 7 to 8 o'clock will be Good Friday service. And then on Easter morning, we're going to have a sunrise service. Now, it won't be exactly a sunrise service because I actually came in this morning early to see. I've been kind of wondering because I couldn't remember from last year. Sunrise this morning technically was 7:30. And then you could actually see the sun come up over the mountain right over here at about 15 minutes after that. It was like 7:45. So we will have, and we'll give you more exact time next week, so approximately like 7:15. We'll do 7:15 where we'll gather out in the parking lot, Lord willing, and we'll worship and we'll watch the sun come up. Then we'll have a continental breakfast and then our traditional 10:30 service or 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock, isn't it? Yeah, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Okay, so that will be in. If you have questions, just call into the office. Next week, the bulletin will have all that stuff, but I'm really looking forward to it. I had to chuckle this week because when the PowerPoint got to Tanya, our office administrator, she came to me and said, "So who's preaching this week?" And I said, "Why do you ask?" She said, "Because there's only 30 slides. Surely it's not you. You're long-winded than that." that was a good one. So this week we're going to be talking about being a friend of sinners. And actually there are shorter slides. There's not that many slides because we're going to do something a little bit different, and some of it may even be a little bit uncomfortable, but that's okay, right? Everyone nod your head, that's okay, even if it's a little bit uncomfortable. So at BAC, as we love, grow, give, go, we strive to be walking in intimacy with God and inviting others to do the same. And last week I read this verse. This is not in your notes. If you want to pull your notes out, because we're going to begin using them in a little bit. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You know, as we've been worshiping and singing unto the Lord, do you realize that he's singing over us? When I was thinking about that, it brought tears to my eyes. And not much brings tears to my eyes. No one's ever sung over me. Some people have spoken some things over me, good and bad. But no one's sung over me. But right now, Look at what it says. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He is rejoicing over you with singing. He loves you that much that he's rejoicing right now over us with singing. Because he delights in you. He not only loves you, he likes you. And there's the proof. There's the proof. After I read this last week, someone came to me and said, "Pastor, would it be okay if I put that verse on the entrance to the sanctuary?" I instantly said yes. And then I sent an email out or a text out to the elders. "Hey, I told someone to do this. Speak now or forever hold your peace." And they were pretty silent. So hopefully it's going to happen in a little bit. But this verse, actually, this verse, who knows the name of the person that founded the CNMA? It's not that important, but does anyone know who it is? It begins A.B. Baby Simpson. In his sanctuary, he would put this over the entrance so when the people came in, they would realize and remember that God loves you. He delights in you. He sings over you with joy and delight. And I hope that we can do that too. And so this is one of the new things we're going to do. You know, maybe not every week, but right now, I'm going to read this through a couple times. Can we just quiet our hearts and close our eyes and just let God speak to us? Because the Lord your God is with you. He's here. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. There's quite a few things there. And so can we just close our eyes and have some silent time and let the Holy Spirit minister to each one of us wherever we are and let these words wash over us. And I'm just going to say them, repeat them a couple times over. So if we can just close our eyes and just let the Holy Spirit come and speak however he chooses. Father, we just so rejoice. The Lord, our God, you are here. You are with us. You are mighty to save. You take great delight in us. You quiet us with your love. And you rejoice over us with singing. O Holy Spirit, please come. However you choose, whatever phrase of this verse or however, please continue to meet each one of us just individually. Continue to come, Holy Spirit. Speak your words of love and affirmation to your sons and daughters. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Oh, Abba, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, it's overwhelming to think that as we are worshiping you, you are rejoicing over us with singing. Please continue to come. Continue to meet us however you choose. Continue to draw us into your very presence. Meet each one of us. However you choose, may your kingdom continue to come. May we just rest in you. And having met you, may each one of us be changed. May your kingdom continue to come. May your will continue to be done. May all of this be a pleasing aroma unto you, Abba Father. For together we pray these things, and we pray them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. And all in agreement said, amen. Amen. So, checkup time last week, table talk. How was your table talk? If you had it, excellent. Just grin at the person next to you. If you forgot about it, small, smiley, frowny face. Okay? Who are normal people? We're going to briefly review a couple slides, and then we're going to jump into the topic of us being a friend of normal people. Who are normal people? 1 Peter 2:11. Peter is speaking to followers of Jesus Christ. He's speaking to the church. And he says this, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world." Dear friends, as aliens and strangers in the world. And last week, you just had too much fun because I asked you to turn to the person next to you and say, "I knew there was something about you." And I'm not going to do that again because you guys had too much fun doing that. But the reality is, we are the ones that are aliens and strangers. If you know Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit's abiding and dwelling within you, our citizenship is not here. It's there. Just this morning, I was a little bit late coming into the service because I texted the kids. Ben and Jen are visiting his parents this weekend, and I texted them, "Hey, have a blessed Sunday together." And right before the service, Jen texted me and said, "Madre," which is what she called Lynette, "Madre's in paradise today." And it just caused me to cry. Rejoicing, rejoicing. She's in paradise. Her citizenship is not here, it's there. Our citizenship, if you know Jesus Christ, your citizenship is not here, it's there. We are the weirdos. We're the strangers and aliens. Not the people you meet at Walmart. Not the people that drive a little bit differently around here. They're not weird. They're normal. You see, we got into the habit, just like the Pharisees did, and they just called, "Jesus, you spend time with all these publicans and sinners," and they had all these negative words toward them. And the reality is, they're the normal people. We're the strangers and aliens. We're the people that aren't normal. In fact, the normal people are doing what they're supposed to do. What are they supposed to do? What are they expected to do? Sin. They're doing a good job of it. We are the ones who are to be salt and light. We're to be the ones loving on them regardless. I don't think Jesus met anyone he didn't love. Even people like us, the religious Pharisees, he loved them. That's why I got angry at them. You don't get angry with people you don't love, do you? He tried to win them. He tried to help them see that they were hypocrites. So he would speak into their life. He told them parables to help them to see that how wrong they were. We are the strangers and aliens, not them. Jesus is our role model. If you're wondering what the underline in purple is, that means there's blank in your notes if you choose to take notes. But today, please have your notes out because I'm going to ask you to do something in there in just a little bit. Matthew 11:19 says, and this is what the Pharisees and the religious people of the day, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, what the religious people of the day, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That's how the religious folk of the day described him. That's how the people that attended church regularly, that's how they described Jesus. What were they basically accusing Jesus of? Being a friend of normal people. Being a friend of normal people. Now, these guys just got back from a cruise. Don't be envious, but I bet they met some interesting normal people on that cruise. Amen?
Amen.
There's interesting normal people out there. And I got to be honest, when I meet a real interesting normal people person, I don't instantly love them. I started thinking, you're weird. What is wrong with you? I'm just being honest. That should not be my first thing. That's the flesh of Jeff. Because Jesus loves everyone. Jesus didn't just die for us. He died for everyone. Not that everyone will receive it, but he died that everyone might receive him. He's not selective. He died for all the world. And am I willing to love all people? I got to be honest. There's some people that just get under my skin. And I instantly think, I never say it, but I think it. I don't like you. Do you have that problem too? Because that is a problem. Jesus did not have that problem. Jesus was a friend of normal people. Jesus went out of his way. Jesus went to normal people's homes and their celebrations. And the celebrations is a huge thing. I'll go to someone's house, but man, going to their barbecue, going to their wedding, going to their whatever, that's a little bit more because that takes even longer. Are you with me? But Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Jesus went there. Jesus rubbed shoulders with normal people. You see, I was raised differently. I was raised us for no more. I was raised that way. As soon as someone prayed to receive Christ, we would get them, no, 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 get away from there. Get away from those. We got to leave all those people. Get away. Get over here. Get over here. Come over here and we're going to study the Bible. We're going to huddle together and we're going to have a holy huddle here. Is that what Jesus did? No. Jesus basically said, sick them. As the Father sent me, so send I you. He filled us with his Holy Spirit and he's saying, sick them. Go love on them. That's what he's saying. But in the flesh, I don't like everybody. I like all you guys. Well, most of you. No, that's not true. I like all you guys because you're lovable. But there's people out there that we know aren't. Just this week, someone I knew is coming toward me. And I'm like, oh, man. He could hardly walk straight. I did not want to love on that guy. Jesus would have. Jesus would have because Jesus did. Because when Jesus saw people that no one would touch, it seems like Jesus went out of his way to even initiate a conversation. Two people that stand out, the woman at the well, no one, I said this, no one would talk to her. Women wouldn't talk to her, men wouldn't talk to her unless it was later at night. And what does Jesus do? Hey, can you give me a drink of water? Can I have a drink of water? He initiates it. Would we have? In hindsight, if you're like me, oh, I'd have done that. I'd have done that. I wouldn't be stupid like Peter. I'd not stick my foot in my mouth. Don't you think that? Come on, be honest. You read we read in hindsight, you know, we're Monday morning quarterbacking. I wouldn't have done that. I'd have not done that. I'd not have been that stupid. I'd have recognized that. I'd have understood that parable. No, 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 no. We're still doing the same thing. Remember my thing about Adam and Eve? When I was younger, new believer, man, what were you two thinking? How stupid. Then, a little bit longer as I grew in the Lord, you know, I look at them and I'm like, wow, huh. I'd have done it too. Then, a little bit more mature, oh my goodness, I'd have done it and I'd have done it even sooner. And right now, oh my goodness, I'm still doing it. Are you with me? Aren't you glad his mercies are new every morning? I sure am. I'm not asking for justice. I'm asking for mercy every morning. Because if it was justice, don't even come near me because a bolt of lightning is going to nail me. just for how I view some people. Because if they don't look right and kind of smell right and act right, then eh. But what did Jesus do? He went out of his way. And if you look at Jesus, he even came and he touched the untouchable people. He got in their lives. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, you see in the Old Testament, if something was clean and it touched something unclean, then the clean became unclean. But with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, it's the exact opposite. The clean touches the unclean and has the potential to make it clean. It's all changed. It's all changed. The church I grew up in, it was a good church, good meaning people, but they didn't understand that. Because as soon as you led someone to the Lord, man, you yanked them out of their environment. And by the time they were just 6 months old, no one in their life was a non-Christian anymore. And so, were they going to catch any fish? There were no more fish in their lives. Because we yanked them out. Come away from them. Be separate. Be clean. Be whatever. All the stuff that was said. And we would yank them out. And so when Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, did they have any fish to fish in? Now this week I had fun because someone invited me to go predator hunting. Now that fits me. I'm a predator and I'm ready to go predator hunting. But I'm a predator that only happens to take guns for walks, so they're pretty safe. So nothing happened. Saw beautiful stars. And I don't even know why I use that illustration. Already forgot. It was a fun time with someone that at the moment doesn't know Jesus. But I believe that God put them on my heart to befriend them because he wants them to get to know Jesus. That's one of the best ways. If you know someone that doesn't know Jesus and they have some skill that you don't, hey, would you teach me how to do that? It works great. Just play stupid or just be stupid, you know, because it works. I know nothing about predator hunting. I know nothing. Tell me what to do. First thing I do, I slam the door shut. And I see him barely shutting the door. What? Oh, blew that one. We might as well just leave, huh? And then I'm loading my shotgun and it's ka-pa-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. And then I'm like, you know, that probably scared him off too, didn't it? And the person just smiled. That was one of those bless your heart moments. I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm excited because God brought someone into my life that I can just love on and be a friend to. And I'm hoping that he sees Jesus in me. Even through the stupidity of cha-ching, cha-ching, and slamming doors. You see, Jesus went into their homes. He got into their lives. And they wanted him there. They wanted him there. How many non-Christians do we know that want us in their lives? This guy probably just wants me there to laugh. But that's okay. Are you with me? Jesus went into the world and Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. That's what he wants from us. Jesus associated with normal people that other people like us would have nothing to do with. That's the truth. That's why they were complaining that Jesus spent all this time with these normal people. They wouldn't. And I promise you, you really didn't want a Pharisee as your next door neighbor. He'd be telling you how you need to mow your grass and all this other stuff. Do your neighbors like you? Do they even know you? Do they even know me? Not your neighbors know me. You're with me, right? How can we live like Jesus? How can we? I believe the first question is, first ask who? Who is it that God wants me to befriend? Who is it that He wants me in their lives? Who does He want me to befriend? The Scripture teaches us that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit in your life. It can't be done. What you do in the flesh will always mess up. Just think about how long you make it every day in your own strength. How long do you make it before you goof up? How long? Can you even make it to work?
I get a long drive.
Scripture teaches that Jesus, why did the Son of God have to be filled with the Holy Spirit? If He needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, do we? Yes. Every day. If you being evil and you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give to you the Holy Spirit when you ask? And then another parable of Jesus, He says that God is like an unjust judge, and this widow kept hounding and hounding and hounding and hounding. Don't ask once, keep asking. It's okay to keep asking. That's the whole point of that story. Ask. Pester God. Ask Him over and over, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please show me anything that might be offensive in me. But to keep asking every day, I ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me because I leak. Does anyone else here leak? Jesus didn't leak. He needed one and done. We leak. We're all crackpots. If you don't believe you are, just ask your spouse or ask your kids. They'll let you know. Amen? Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you may disagree with that. That's okay. But apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't do any of this. It has to be the Holy Spirit leading us. It has to be. It was with Jesus. So every day, Holy Spirit, who today? Holy Spirit, who today? Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Claim, that was Luke 11, 11 through 13 that I was quoting. If you being evil know how to give good gifts, that's Luke 11, 11 through 13. Ask for the Holy Spirit and then ask Holy Spirit, who is it today? Who is it today? And then let me tell you, listen with your eyes as much as your ears. You guys aren't saying a word, but I'm watching. I'm listening to every one of you. That says something. Listen with your eyes just as much as with your ears. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit will nudge you. He will nudge you. Maybe not with a word, but you'll see someone and you'll see that person hurting. Or whatever, 80% of communication, at least 80, is nonverbal. So listen with your eyes as much as your ears. So if the Holy Spirit brings you a hurting person, just trust that's the Holy Spirit and lean into it. What have you got to lose? Nothing. So the first is Holy Spirit who? Holy Spirit who? First be, ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you, and then Holy Spirit, who is it? Who is it today? Second, what? Trust the nudgings of the Holy Spirit. And now I was going to ask a couple of people to give testimonies. Does anyone know what I mean by a nudging of the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand if you know. Excellent. Because what you're all going to do now, instead of just a couple of people giving testimony, and I'll keep talking, but I want to have you turn to the person next to you and describe a nudging. So here I am. I know some of you are terrified. That's okay. Just say pass. If you're really terrified by this, just say pass, and that'll be okay. So I'm finals week at Tekoa. This is an old one. Finals week at Tekoa. I may have told you this one. And the Holy Spirit told me, go visit some lady in the hospital. And it was a Greek final. And even repetition doesn't penetrate the dullest of minds sometimes. So I would literally stay up 48 hours. I wouldn't memorize the words. I would memorize the whole passage in Greek. And then I might get a B. Okay? 48 hours, I memorized the whole passage of Scripture in the original language, and I might get a B, because you got to be able to spell, and you need to know grammar. I know neither of those things, much less in Greek. So I'm studying, and I hear the Holy Spirit nudge me, go visit this person. And I said, I will tomorrow after the test. He told me three or four times, I will tomorrow after the test. I will tomorrow after the test. I went after the test. And what happened? She went to be with the Lord before I got there. Now, she's in heaven. She was a believer. But I missed out on a blessing and ministering. I missed out. Now, a good story. 15 years later, I'm in the grocery store and I see a guy. And the Lord just says, go over to this guy. So I went over to him. I'd played basketball with him a couple times, and I had given him a book, a Lewis book, Mere Christianity. It was actually a pretty rare one, a first edition one worth a lot of money. I never did get that right. I borrowed it and then gave it. Oh, my goodness. Don't ever do that. Anyway, I saw him in the grocery store, and I heard the Lord say, go talk to him. And I did, and I went and talked to him. 2 days later, he died. On one, I failed. I never want to fail that test again. I never want to fail that test again. So if I'm driving, if I'm doing anything, I get a nudge, give Jerry a call, text Jerry in church, whatever it is, just do it. Trust that it's the Holy Spirit, His nudging. Just do it. What do you have to lose? Why are you calling me? Stop pestering me. That's the worst that can happen. Okay. So, right now, and I know this might make some of you uncomfortable, you can say pass. It's okay to say pass. But I want you to just share with someone close by and give them a time when you felt a nudge of the Lord and you responded, and then what happened? So I'm going to give you 1 minute. You got 1 minute, okay? 1 minute. I want to hear a lot of... sitting there alone.
Say, hey, I understand what you're going through. I've been there. It's huge.
5 seconds. Okay. And now, if this was really push you in the outer limits, when you see me today or tomorrow, say, hey, please don't ever do that again. Okay? And I might listen. Who knows? It might get through. But how did you feel? I know most of you have experienced that. How did you feel after the Holy Spirit nudged you and you responded in obedience? How did you feel? Yeah. Can you get better than that? No. See, he could have used anyone he wanted, but he nudged you. God doesn't need us. He keeps inviting us to be used of him in his glory and his work. How cool is that? So, see, if you keep doing this, and please, let's start each day. Holy Spirit, please fill me. Holy Spirit, who today? Just start looking for it. And I promise you, when you start looking for it, you'll start seeing it. You know, we used this yesterday a little bit. We have a silver Camry. Before I bought a silver Camry, I never saw another silver Camry on the road. Now that I have one, they're everywhere. Someone in the church has the same year, almost the same mile as mine. But the reality, see, when you start looking for it, you start seeing it. When you expect nudges, you begin to recognize the nudges. And it just happens more and more. And so, what's in a personal testimony? I didn't have personal testimony in here. Because if you have these nudges, eventually, someone's going to ask you why you're so weird. And then you want to have your testimony ready. You know, when Lynette was in the midst of this cancer, that guy that I walked across, I didn't even know what his real name was. They called him Pops. Like he was 90-something and playing basketball with college students still. I only know him as Pops. Pops came up to me one day and said, "Jeff, I can't believe how much peace you've got in the midst of your wife and all this going on. How in the world can you have all this peace that you do? How can you smile so much?" Gee, I don't know, dude. You think that's what I said? No! Pops, it's Jesus. Man, I used to have all this fear in my life. And that's what a testimony is. And everyone here has a testimony. You see it on TV, and you see it in all these commercials. There's the before, whatever it is. Then I brush with this, and now I'm happy. That is all a personal testimony is. You can say it in 30 seconds. You can say it in 30 minutes. All a personal testimony is before Jesus. And my basic one, I have lots of them because Jesus has done so much in my life. But the first thing is, my older brother, we'd be downstairs playing. He'd be the first one up the steps. I'd be lingering down there, breaking something. And what would he do? Flick the light off. Absolute darkness. Scared me to death. I don't know how many times I tripped up steps trying to get upstairs. My uncle, I'd work for my uncle all day, get dark, and by dark I was supposed to be home. Well, I would start home, and my Uncle Bud would say, "Hey, Jeff, come here, I just thought of something." And I'd come back, and he'd say, "Just think how far you'd be if I hadn't stopped you." Now, he'd do that 3 or 4 times until it was pitch dark. Me, you obey those in authority over you, submit. It was Uncle Bud. It was never Bud. It was Uncle Bud. So he'd do that 5, 6 times. It'd be pitch black. Once I finally started, man, I ran as fast as I could across the pasture to get home because I was afraid of the dark. Once I prayed to receive Jesus, it's all gone. Before Jesus, there was all this fear in my life. Fear of all kinds of stuff. Then I met Jesus. I went forward and I just prayed, "Jesus, please come into my life." And then afterward, man, I got no fear. Some people wish I had some fear, but I got none. Lynette wish I had some fear at times. That's all a testimony is. Before I met Jesus, I met Jesus, and now, that's all a testimony is. Before, Jesus, and after. And that can take, fear was the fundamental thing that brought me to Jesus. But he gave me purpose, he gave me meaning, he gave me a call, he gave me all kinds of gifts. so that I can share a testimony that might meet where that person is. Oh, I can understand fear. I can understand purposelessness. I can understand these things. I can understand not understanding. Nice kid, dumb as a brick. I was one step above special education. Then I met Jesus. And then by ninth grade, I had to take Algebra 2 and Spanish because it was in the highest section of the school. Literally, light bulbs came on. The teachers used to write stuff on the board, and I'm like, I don't understand. And then eventually the nice teachers would come and say, Jeff, don't worry, just go out and have fun. Because it was always, when you get your work done, you can go to recess. Remember those days? They'd always come up, don't worry, Jeff, go have fun. I didn't know. My mom saved my report cards to remind me of it, though. I have them all. So, not understanding. Nice kid, but just doesn't understand. Needs improvement. Remember those cards where they gave up on the A's and B's and it was just need improvement, satisfactory, or good? Well, I was consistently the N. Needs improvement. Nice kid, needs improvement. It rhymed. Nice kid, needs improvement. Before Christ, I met Jesus and He changed everything. And now I have to study Algebra 2 and Spanish because the lights just kept coming on. I'm like, oh, is that what that means? Is that what that is? Because eventually these nudges are going to put you places where people are going to wonder, why are you different? And there's one reason why we're different. Jesus. They're going to see the Holy Spirit in us and be drawn to Him and want to know what it is. And what is the gospel? The gospel, or what's in a personal testimony? I just told you. Oh, I went the wrong way. I'm holding it upside down again. Look at that. Didn't take quite as long this time. What is the gospel? That word gospel literally means good news. Good news. Good news. It was good news in my life. I was terrified, and I met good news. I met Jesus, and now there's no fear. The word gospel simply means good news. It's the good news of Jesus. His death, His burial, the resurrection. And I just want to share with you a real short, it's called the bridge illustration. And all you need to know is one verse. I always use Scripture. I always use Scripture because God's Word has promised that His Word will reap a harvest. Not my words, not my illustrations or things, but His Word. One verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everyone read that together with me. Ready? For the wages... Again. Has anyone ever seen Karate Kid? Again. 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 That's the only verse you really need to know. You should know a bunch of other verses, but this is it. For the wages of sin is death, but, thank goodness for the but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's the bridge illustration. And now look at this because there is a test. There is a test coming. My goodness, I am long-winded, aren't I? Okay, so here it is. You just, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. There's a gap between us. Sin separates us from God. We're here, and all you got is a line, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became the bridge, and now we have access to God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You can do that on any napkin, in any place, in 30 seconds. Now you're ready. Sick 'em. Here's your homework. In your sermon notes, on page 2, It's a nice big blank on page 2 there. You see that gap? See that gap? I want you to do the bridge illustration right now. A line, us, God, the cross, that's the bridge illustration. Everyone right now, right now. Everyone should have a piece of paper out. I want you to do the bridge illustration. And you are lucky that I'm so long-winded because I was going to have everyone lead your neighbor to the Lord this morning. Okay, write the bridge illustration. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. See how easy that is? 90 degree, us and God. Little right angle. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you get fancier with it. With people this side of the bridge, I've said, so how close to the edge are you? Are you really close to Jesus or are you back here? Where are you? Is there any reason in the world why you shouldn't pray to receive Jesus Christ right now and be weird just like me? And some people say, I'm not ready, and that's okay. If they say that, then I say, so what will it take? Oh, you want time to think about it? Okay. I'll ask you next week. And if they're still your friend, they really are a pre-Christian at that point. It's only time. Because God is after them. We sang that song, The Reckless Love of God. God's not reckless, but His love is reckless. He wants all to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. By the way, each of you have a tract in there. It's either green or yellowish or goldenrod or something like that. And it's the bridge to life. And it just uses, it's the same illustration. It doesn't use the verse that I used, Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 is, there's many, many verses that you can use, but this is the bridge illustration. If you can't remember it, just tuck this away in your purse or wallet or whatever and pull it out. But I'm telling you, right angle, us, God, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's that simple. It begins with that nudge. It begins, Holy Spirit, please fill me. Holy Spirit, who today? And just look for the nudge. I have never argued anyone into the kingdom. Who draws people into the kingdom? The Holy Spirit. You can't argue them into the kingdom. It's all the Holy Spirit anyway. He's inviting us to be the messenger so that He flows through us. That's why we begin each day. Holy Spirit, please fill me. Holy Spirit, who today? And then just look and trust the Holy Spirit's going to keep nudging you. You can't mess it up. You really can't. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. It's all Him. And if the person doesn't pray to receive Christ, that's okay. God's the one in control, not us. God is the one in control, not us. Let's be a friend. Starts there. Let's just be a friend. Takes a friend to have friends. Let's just be a friend. Amen? This week, who does God want you to befriend? Let's be a friend. Who knows, I might go predator hunting. Little do they know I am really predator hunting. That's okay. Just being a friend. And buying them a meal helps, just so you know. Be a friend. Fill with the Holy Spirit and being a friend. That's all it's about. Let's pray. Dad in heaven, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you're inviting us to be a part of this. You could draw people however you want, dreams, visions, angels coming and revealing and speaking to them the gospel, but you have chosen us. How wonderful, how awesome. Holy Spirit, please wake us up each morning reminding us. In fact, Holy Spirit, I just confess it, apart from you, I can do nothing. Please even remind me each morning. I can't even remember. Remind me each morning to welcome you and invite you newly and freshly to come and fill this temple. And then use me to be a friend. Help me to recognize your nudges. You've already done it. We've already sensed it. I think almost everyone in here has sensed it at one time or another. Just make us more sensitive to your gentle nudges. And I thank you in advance for the amazing things you're going to do this week. The cool things you're going to do. Just because we're following your nudges. I believe, help my unbelief, I believe you're going to do amazing things this week in us and through us. I believe. I believe. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. And all in agreement said, amen. Would you please stand together with me? And let's sing unto the Lord. You know the altar is always open.